Good morning, Bethany. Thanks for joining in with us this morning, and our visitors who may be visiting for the first time with us online, welcome, and I hope that you've enjoyed the service so far. And this month we've been doing a series called Heroes of the Faith, and this morning I am going to be talking about my faith hero, who is Moses. And the title that I've chosen for this message is hashtag relationship goals. And you'll see why in a minute. But before I get into talking about Moses, I want to preface this with asking a question. Well, what is a hero? What is a hero? Now, you know, of course, when you want to look up the definition for anything, we go to Google, right? Because who carries dictionaries anymore? So I looked up the Google definition of a hero, and it said that it is a person who is admired or idealized for their courage, for their outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. Now, if I were to add anything to that, I would say that heroes inspire, right? They inspire us, don't they? They inspire us to want to be better, to be like them, whether it's a military leader, a war hero, a community leader, a president, even our parents. You know, if our parents are our heroes, they inspire us. They teach us things about ourselves. They push us to be better. This could even be true about comic book heroes. Did not Superman make us want to fly at some point in our lives or in our childhood? Didn't the Flash make you feel like you were the fastest kid in your gym class? Or the Hulk make you want to do better in the weight room and leap tall buildings in the single bound? Here's my hero. Now, he can't fly or leap tall buildings in a single bound. He doesn't even have super strength or super speed. Well, then you would ask, what makes him super? Well, I saw an answer to this question online that really touched me. And the guy simply wrote, despite being human, Batman stands out above all the rest. And when I saw that, I said amen, because it's true. It's not his abilities that make him a superhero. It's his humanity. Wow. Wow. So he's a superhero because he's not afraid. He continues on. He is afraid of a world without someone like him in it. Isn't that true for all superheroes? I thought to myself when I read this. I mean, why do we love Superman? Is it because he has super strength? No. It's because despite how strong he is, his true kryptonite, and that for all other superheroes, is that they will not suffer danger or hurt or evil to befall upon the world or what Jesus would call the least of us. They see themselves as our shields, our preservers, our intercessors, protecting us from violence and from villains and from crime and even ourselves at times. Trading what could be a sumptuous and lavish life for a life postured in servitude and in sacrifice. And those are the qualities that I found in my faith hero, Moses, which the Bible says about him in Hebrews chapter 11, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Pharaoh's house for a season. Now, I know this is a unique quality that Moses possesses, because there are certainly others in the Bible who lived lives of solitude that follow God. I mean, isn't that our call as Christians? When Jesus calls us to follow him, he said we must do what first? We must first deny ourselves. So sacrifice is not a unique quality to Moses, because others in the Bible have done also. Did not the prophets live lives of solitude? Even the apostles, did they not forsake all for the gospel? But there's something that the Lord says about Moses that makes him stand out above all the rest. Like Batman. And I want to read it to you. It's in Numbers chapter 12. Now, up until this point, Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He has led them into the wilderness. But the children of Israel begin to look back at what they had when they were slaves, and saying because of their harsh living conditions, because they were hungry, And they started to speak against Moses and against God, saying, why did they bring us out here to die? Were there not graves in Egypt for us? And so this is where we find ourselves here in Numbers chapter 12 at this point, because Aaron and Miriam, who were Moses' siblings, began to fall into that trap of gossip and begin to speak against Moses. And then God calls them to the tabernacle, and this is where we find ourselves. In verse 4, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, spake suddenly unto Moses." And I'm going to read from the King James Version because I believe it uses wording that really speaks to me. "And unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called forth Aaron and Miriam." So he called them three out, and then he specifically calls Aaron and Miriam out. And they both came forth. "And he said, Hear now my words." This is God speaking. "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold." Wow. I mean, that just does something to me every time I read it, to be affirmed of God that way. I've only ever seen him do that to one other person. And it's when Jesus goes down to be baptized by John the Baptist, and he comes out of the water, and the Holy Ghost descends on him like a dove, and the voice comes down from heaven, and it says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus is God, but Moses is a man like you and I, which means this kind of relationship that he has with the Lord is attainable. And to have that kind of closeness with the Lord is something to contend for. And I can remember from the first time reading this passage, saying to myself, I want that. Those are my hashtag relationship goals. And asking the Lord, "Lord, speak to me mouth to mouth. I want to behold your similitude. I want to see you as you are, and not just in dark speeches or in dreams. I want that kind of relationship that you had with Moses. I want to know you." And when the Bible says that Adam knew his wife Eve, it's talking about this intimacy, this closeness that they shared with one another. And that began to be my prayer. "Lord, I want to know you." Look at what Moses asked God in Exodus chapter 33, which will bring me to my first point about Moses. Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, it says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may," watch this, "know thee." Show me your way, that I may know thee. Show me your way. That's going to be important, lady. Show me your way, that I may know thee. Verse 18, it says, "I beseech you, show me your glory." And the first point I want to bring up about Moses is that no matter where in his journey he found himself with God, he was always in constant pursuit after him. Moses was in constant pursuit after God. What does it mean to be in constant pursuit after God? Well, I kind of came up with a definition for it, and this is what I came up with. It's knowing that no matter how much God has done for you or shown to you, it's knowing that there's always more that he can reveal to you. I'm going to say that again. It's knowing no matter how much God has done for you or shown you, that there is always more he can reveal to you. Look at how the Lord responds to Moses in verse 17. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing which you have spoken, for you have found grace. And I," watch this, "I know thee," there it is again, "I know thee by name." The Lord again affirming this closeness that he has with Moses and this intimacy that he has with him. Understand, up until this point in Moses' journey, he's seen the power of God. Even before he went down into Egypt, Moses said, "The people won't believe that you sent me. What should I tell them? What should I show them?" And God performed three miracles right in front of him. It says, "Show these to the people. They'll believe." And then Moses went down into Egypt, and he saw God do the plagues in Egypt. And he saw how Israel was protected during that time, and how he sent the death angel through. And when they got to the Red Sea and the sea was in front of them and the army of Egypt was behind him, he saw how God parted the Red Sea and saw the children of Israel go through on dry land. He seen the power of God and experienced his presence probably more than what you and I will in this life. Yet he's coming to God asking him for more. God, I want to know you more. In chapter 20, we see God coming down to visit the people upon Mount Sinai because the people said, Moses, we're tired of hearing from you. We want to hear straight from God. And then God said, okay, well, get them ready. And then God comes down on Mount Sinai and consumes it in fire and with a cloud and with the sound of a trumpet and with thunder and lightning. And what did the people do? They ran. They fled. They were frightened by the presence of God. And Moses said, don't be afraid. God has come to prove you. And while everyone was fleeing, running from the presence of God, the Bible says that Moses drew nearer to it. He drew nearer to it. Isn't that what we need now in these times? To draw closer to the presence of God while it seems the world is drawing further from it? To know his heart? To know his way, like Moses said. Lord, show me your way, that I may know you. Moses is saying that the miracles that you've done in my eyes are just, and the blessings that you have blessed us, that you have blessed this people Israel with, mean nothing to me if I can't know you intimately, if I can't share a closeness with you. And how can we know God? Because that began to be my question. Lord, how can I know your way except you tell me? How can I see you as you are except you reveal yourself to me? And I believe that the Lord tells us. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. It says, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Isn't that consistent with what Moses is saying? John is saying that we know him if we keep his commandment, if we keep his way. And Moses is saying, Lord, show me your way that I may know you. And this is why I believe that in that day, Jesus says that many will say in that day that Lord, have we not preached in your name? Have we not in your name cast out devils and healed the sick and raised the dead and done these great things in your name? But then Jesus said that in that day, I will profess to them, depart from me. I never knew you. We know what these commandments are. We know these commandments are. God, remember, just a minute ago, when I told you in Mount Sinai, God came down on that mountain to give the Ten Commandments to Moses. And Jesus comes along and sums those ten up into two, saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and your neighbor as yourself. Love God and your neighbor as yourself. Church, this is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. 1 John chapter 4, it continues on to say, he says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that love is born of God. And, watch this, knows God. And he that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. And if we are going to begin to know the heart of God, it begins with this principle of love. Why did Moses leave Pharaoh's house to suffer with the people of God? It was because of love. Why did he then leave his family to go down and deliver them out of Egypt at the word of the Lord? It was because of love. Why did our Savior come down off of his throne, wrap himself in flesh to save you and I, to die on the cross? It was because of love. Romans chapter 13, it says, owe no man nothing but to love one another. For he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is what God gave to Moses when he said, Lord, show me your way that I may know you. And if we are going to know God, we have to know his way. If we're going to be closer to him, we have to know his way. No matter how far we've come in our journey, continue the pursuit. Come on, write that in the comment. Encourage somebody. Say, continue the pursuit. When the world seems to be going crazy around us, continue the pursuit. When you don't know what's going to be happening next, when you're living in fear for what could possibly happen next, just pursue after God and his way. Continue the pursuit. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, meaning the good man, delights in his way, delights in the way of the Lord. Then it goes on about this good man. It says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him in his hand. Continue the pursuit is the first point I wanted to make about Moses. The second one is that Moses was meek. He was the meekest man on earth. So let's go back to Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. It says, now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And I read that and I was like, wow, above all men that were upon the face of the earth? Well, what does it mean to be meek? Well, it's defined in several ways. Here's a few. It means to be humble, to be teachable. And Moses, do we not see this in Moses' life, that he was teachable when he was judging the children of Israel from day till night? His father-in-law, Jethro saw this and he said, Moses, this is not good for you to do this. Come on, you got to pass out this responsibility. You're going to kill yourself this way. Now, Moses could have easily said, you're not God. Why would I listen to you? But he listened and he made adjustments and he consulted God on this matter. He was teachable. It also says that he was, meekness also means to be patient and long-suffering. And we'll come back to that. But what is humility? What is true humility? Because, you know, you can certainly play the part, but ultimately people can always spot a fake. And I think that description of Moses being meek and humble is interesting, because considering the fact that he was Israel's lawgiver and their judge. And not only that, some historians believe that he was a military leader even in Egypt. And he certainly led Israel into a few battles, yet he was the most humble man. He was even their spiritual leader and oversaw the construction of the tabernacle and ruthlessly abhorred disobedience. He even got angry at times. Yet the Bible says that he was the most meek man, the meekest man on the earth. Some more synonyms and similar words for this word is unassuming. I love that word. Subservient. A humble person is in the background kind of leader and not a forceful and arrogant one. Humble people see themselves as second in line to the person who's really making the calls, who's calling the shots. And don't we see this in Moses's life? While people see Moses as this great leader, we really see his humanity in his humility. I mean, take a close look at the plagues in Egypt and look who's calling the shots. It's God. Go and tell Pharaoh, Moses. Raise up your staff, Moses. Strike the waters of Egypt, Moses. Say unto the people, Moses, I will be with you, Moses. Moses is a good leader, not because because he was out in front and he was this, not because of his title, not because of all the great miracles that he performed in front of Israel. It was because he was the very definition of what a servant leader should be. Look at what God says to Moses in Exodus chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god unto Pharaoh.
and Aaron thy brother shall be your prophet. Isn't that strange that God said this? Now, we know how this plays out in history. Anyone that has had great power or seen themselves as a god has always abused it. Always. But if you look at Moses' life, it doesn't add up with him. He never had Israel build tributes in his name. He never had 3, 5, and 100 wives like David and Solomon. Look at what verse 2 says. It says, "You shall speak all that I command." Moses was simply a mouthpiece for God. And while everyone contributes the first 5 books of the Bible as names it the Law of Moses, Moses never called it that because he realized that it came from his maker, his Lord. Now, I want to go back to the, and this is my last point. I want to go back to the point that I made about a hero standing in the gap. And I want to read to you a passage about Moses that you may not have read before. And it's on Hosea chapter 12, verse 13. And it says, "And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved." And the last point I want to make about Moses is that he was Israel's intercessor. It was Moses' intercession that preserved Israel through the wilderness, that preserved them through all of the hunger and all of the uncomfortable living conditions, even from God's anger and wrath. Because God at one point wanted to wipe them out because of their rebellion, because of their complaining, because of their dissatisfaction. He actually disowned them. He said, "Moses, go get your people because I'm about to take them out." And Moses pleaded with God. He interceded for them. He stood in the gap for them. He said, "Lord, don't do this thing that you have pronounced upon your people. Lest the Gentiles and the Egyptians say that their God brought them out into the wilderness just to kill them. Don't do it." And Moses pleaded with God. It was Moses' intercession that preserved Israel through it all. Even when Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses, Moses and Aaron probably wouldn't be with us, their story probably would have ended with Numbers chapter 12 had not Moses fell straight to his knees as soon as Miriam was struck with leprosy and interceded for them and prayed for them. How are we going to preserve the world today? It's going to be through prayer and supplication. 1 Timothy 1 and 2, it says, "I exhort thee that therefore that first of all supplication and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings," verse 2, "and for all that are in authority." The scripture says pray for all men, including our leaders. That means our mayors, our city councilmen, our governors, our senators, our law enforcement officers, and yes, our president. While you may not have voted for these people to be in office, the Bible still commands us to pray for them, just like Moses. Intercede for them. They may not make the best decisions all the time, but pray for those who are recipients of these decisions. The point is that there's always something to pray and intercede for. There's a song that we used to sing when I was a kid in the church that I grew up in. It said, "Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me." Then the psalmist goes on and says, "I'm so glad they prayed, took the time to pray. I'm so glad they prayed for me." Aren't you glad that when you were in a tough time, in a tough situation, and you felt like God wasn't around or you didn't have any friends to support you or to talk to, that somebody prayed for you and thought about you, had you on their mind? Prayer is a discipline that we have to be more intentional about if we are going to be closer to God. Moses would pray 40 days and nights at a time, not even breaking for food and water, because he cherished those moments with his creator so much. And my prayer for us is that we be more intentional about spending personal time with God like Moses. That we find our Mount Sinai in our homes, create those burning bush moments, and pray and intercede for our people. Pray for our families. Pray for our communities. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our nation. Pray without ceasing. Pray and not faint. Father, I thank you for this great example in Moses that we have. Lord, and it is your desire to be close with us, to have an intimate relationship with us. Lord, and my prayer is that during these difficult times that we draw closer to you while the world seems to be drawn away from you, that you show us your way that we may know you intimately. Lord, because we don't know how to judge right from wrong, how to go out or come in, how to judge between so great of situations, except you tell us. So let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.